Krishna says in Gita, Janama karam achame divyam evam yo veti tatpata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mam eti swarajuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth again in this material world, but attains my supreme abode. Whatever Krishna does during his descent in this material world is perfectly transcendental to the modes of material nature. All of his wonderful pastimes are enacted as lila by his own supreme independent will. Krishna appeared in this world in Mathura, in the prison cell of Kamsa. On that very evening, Vasudev brought him across the Jamuna to Gokul. It was in Gokul that Krishna enacted his beautiful Bal Leela. He killed Putana, he killed Trinavarta, and he charmed all the inhabitants of Gokul by submerging them in oceans of transcendental ecstasy through his beauty and his wonderful pastimes, such as that of stealing the butter of the gopis. After some time, when he was around 4 years old, the Vrijbasis transported him, along with their whole community, across Brajbhumi to Nandagaon, where Krishna performed his wonderful leela with Balaram as a cowherd boy. He also lifted the Govardhan hill and had his intimate loving exchanges with Sri Radharani and the gopis. When he was approximately 12 years and 8 months, Akrura came and brought him to Mathura. There he killed Kamsa, Kuvalayapida. He liberated the florist Sudhama and simply charmed all the residents of Vrindavan of Mathura by his beauty and his love. And then when he was about 25 years, he transported all the Yadu dynasty and Vishnis to the city of Dwaraka, which he had constructed within the sea. And in Dwaraka he married 16,108 beautiful queens. He killed many demons, such as Salva, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jarasandha during this time. In this way, he was ridding the world from the burden of demoniac kings. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstat panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes to deliver the pious by attracting them through his divine leela. And he annihilates the miscreants and he reestablishes the principles of religion. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on battlefield of Kurukshetra. In this way, he reestablished the principles of religion in the most succinct and concise manner. And during this great battle of Kurukshetra, all the other arrogant, burdensome kings that were on the earth were slain. At that time, he began to think, that I have fulfilled all the purposes of this incarnation. Through exhibiting my wonderful Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka Leela, I have established such beautiful narrations that will be within the scriptures and always decorating the mouths of the devotees. And anyone who hears these beautiful pastimes submissively will be liberated from the repetition of birth and death and will attain my supreme abode. I have also perfectly established all religious principles, and now the burden of all these arrogant and demoniac kings have been removed from this earth. So he was thinking that now it is time for me to depart. It is explained by the great acharyas that Krishna's appearance and disappearance is like the rising and setting of the sun. The sun is never born and the sun never dies, but it simply appears to our vision for some time. But Krishna was thinking that if I stay in this world for too long, then people will think that this world is a worthwhile place to live. But I want to show by my renunciation that this material world is no place for anyone to remain. That everyone should leave this world of birth and death and come to my abode. So it was in Dwarka, Lord Sri Krishna, he was considering that if I leave the world, my eternal associates in the form of the Yadus, what will they do without me? They are so powerful that no one can defeat them. Even the demigods fear the massive community of the Yadu dynasty, who are all directly my own relatives. And if I leave this world, in separation from me, they will become so mad that they will create complete havoc. And besides that, many demigods have come within the Yadu dynasty to take birth. And it is time for them to resume their positions. And also he knew there were certain members of the Yadu dynasty who, although born of his family, were actually antagonistic toward him. They had become so proud that they were the relatives of Krishna, they considered themselves on an equal level. So he did not want a dynasty of people who were claiming to be acharyas on the basis of their relationship with Krishna. An acharya is by qualification, not by birth. And he knew that the simple, ordinary people would put complete faith in a person just because of their being a descendant of Krishna. And in the future, such persons, they may become unscrupulous and cheat people and guide them in irreligion. So to prevent this from happening, he decided the Yadu dynasty must leave before me. But overall, we should know that most of the members, practically all the members of the Yadu dynasty, were the eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna comes to this world, he comes with his entourage of eternal associates. And when he leaves, he takes them with him. But he was thinking how to remove the Yadu dynasty from this world. No one can defeat them. And I cannot kill them because they're my own beloved relatives and they are surrendered to me. So So he was thinking, just like bamboos scrape each other in the forest and start a fire and consume the entire forest, only the Yadus can destroy themselves. No one else has such power. While he was considering in this way, he devised an extraordinary plan. Many, many great rishis came to Vasudeva's house to perform a yajna. Narada Muni was their leader. Vishramitra, Atri Muni, Angira Muni, Durvas Muni, and so many others. After they performed the sacrifice, Krishna told them to go to a particular place not far from Dwarka. While they were there, having their satsang, the younger members of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna put his Yogamaya potency within their hearts. Although they were so gentle and respectful to all Brahmins, Krishna decided to bewilder their minds. And they wanted to play a joke on the great devotees. So they dressed Samba up as a woman. And they put something under his clothes to make him look like he was pregnant. And the Yadus came before Narada, Durvas, and the other Munis. And they said, you see this young girl wearing sari? She is pregnant and she very much wants to have a young boy as a child. Can you tell us by your mystic vision whether the child will be a boy or a girl? The rishis knew exactly that they were trying to make fun of them. And they became very angry. And they spoke with thunderous voices, that you fools, you dare to insult the representatives of God. This young girl will give birth to an iron club which will become the cause of the destruction of the entire Yadu dynasty. And when they heard these words, they became very much afraid. And they immediately took Samba's sari and they lifted it, and there, where his stomach was a big iron club. They became very frightened and they returned to Dwarka and they gave that iron club to King Ugrasena and told him the whole story. They were afraid to approach their father Krishna because they knew how much Krishna was so gentle and how much he always glorified and served the Vaishnavas, and they had just committed a great Vaishnava aparad. So King Ugrasena, in great fear of the consequence of this offense, he had this iron club ground into tiny, small, powder-like pieces. Everything became powder except one piece they could not pulverize, and they considered it quite insignificant. And Ugrasena personally took the filings of this iron club and threw it in the ocean. Those filings drifted to this place of Prabhaschetra. And they went into the ground just near the ocean. And they grew into very strong stalks with very sharp tips. And that one little chunk was eaten by a fish who had offended the Lord by kicking him on the chest. And as a reaction, he had to come down to be a low-born hunter. And he made that iron filing into an arrowhead. The stage was being set by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and all the principal demigods, the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, they all came to Dwarka to have the beautiful darshan of Sri Krishna. They offered him garlands and garlands and garlands and offered him beautiful gifts and love. And then they began to glorify Krishna and glorify his wonderful pastimes. Lord Brahma said that the earth approached me in the form of a cow and said that the burden of demoniac kings is too much for me. At that time, myself and all the demigods approached you to come down to the earth, to descend, to free the world of all the demoniac tendencies of these kings, and to reestablish the principles of dharma. And now, my dear Lord, you have fulfilled all the purposes of your incarnation. Now we humbly request that you put an end to this divine lila and return to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. And when Krishna heard this, he said to Brahma that I have already made all arrangements. The whole Yadu dynasty has already been cursed to die. This is not a curse that is based on any material deficiency. This is all being enacted by my divine will. So very soon I will return to Vaikuntha, and all my eternal associates will come along with me. Then Lord Brahma and all the demigods offer their obeisances and return to their abodes. So Krishna spoke to the residents of Dwarka and told them that, you know, there has been a very serious offense committed, and our whole dynasty has been cursed to die. He said, there is a holy place of the name Prabhaskshetra. Since time immemorial, this place has been a sacred place of pilgrimage. At one time, the demigod Soma, being cursed by his father-in-law Daksha, contracted a terrible disease, and he fasted and bathed in the holy rivers here, and he worshipped Lord Shiva and became free from that curse. Similarly, Lord Parasaram, after he killed the Kshatriyas, he came here and performed tapasya. Krishna said that anyone who comes to Prabhaskshetra and fasts, lives simply, always thinks of God and takes bath in the rivers, will be delivered from the cycle of birth and death and all the sufferings of material life. So I believe we have committed a serious offense against Vaishnavas. We should all go to Prabhaskshetra and we should perform yajna. So they all agreed. And they got all of the warriors of the Yadu dynasty. They got on boats. They came across to the mainland, and then they took chariots to Prabhaskshetra. Here they took their baths, they performed their yajnas, and then they began to celebrate. And they began to celebrate by drinking a certain intoxicating beverage. I believe it was called Maideya. And they became so much intoxicated by the will of the Lord We should not think that the Yadus, such great personalities, are fond of taking intoxicants. But Krishna, who is seated within everybody's heart, guides them like puppets in his hands. So due to the strong intoxicating beverage, they became so arrogant that although they were loving family members, with Krishna always in the center of all their relationships, they lived together for so many long years, so harmoniously and lovingly, they began to argue and fight. And the arguing became so intense that they picked up their bows and their clubs and their lances and they began to fight with one another. And after using all their weapons on each other, they were so angry that they started pulling out those stalks that grew from the iron filings. And when they took them out in their hands, those stalks became as strong as iron. And they began to beat each other to death. Pradyumna and Sambha, who were best of friends, began to fight and kill each other. Akrura and Satyaki, the two Gadas, one who was the younger brother of Krishna and other cousin, they were killing each other. And Krishna, upon seeing this, he tried to break up the fighting. And they all attacked him. And then Krishna took iron stocks, and he was also involved. And then they saw Balaram watching all this with amazement, and they attacked him. And Balaram picked up stock, and he started killing. In this way, the acharyas say, 560 million of the warriors of the Yadu dynasty were killed right here in this holy place of Prabhaskshetra. When Krishna saw that now there is no impediments for the world, my lila is finished, whoever hears my pastimes will attain the supreme fortune, he came to this very place. And he sat under a peepal tree. There he witnessed Balaram, who was sitting close by on the shore of the ocean, by the transcendental will of Lord Balaram. Shesha Nag, beautiful white form, came out of his mouth. And he went back to the spiritual world. Upon seeing this, Krishna began to meditate. That I have come to this world and given every living being the opportunity to attain the supreme perfection of life. Now it is time for my departure. At that time, he put his left foot on his right thigh. Krishna's foot is so beautiful. Its soles are red like a lotus flower. At that time, Jara, the hunter, thought that the foot of Krishna was the beautiful face of a baby deer. And he took his bow and he mounted an arrow upon it. And on the tip of that arrow was the piece of iron that came from the club born of Sambha. The result of the curse of the Vaishnavas. Where we were sitting before having the wonderful kirtan is the place that Jara shot the arrow from. And it was here, where we are sitting today, that that arrow came and touched the beautiful, soft lotus foot of Sri Krishna. It did not pierce his foot. It simply touched it and fell to the ground. Jara came. He looked and he saw that Krishna was sitting in his beautiful forearm form, with his arms decorated by the lotus flower, the club, the chakra, and the conch shell. He had beautiful, beautiful blackish complexion, lotus-like eyes, decorated with beautiful jewelry, including the Kostaba Mani, wonderful flowers, and tulsi leaves. Jara realized that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in great distress, he fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and begged forgiveness for the offense he had committed. He said, because I am a low-born hunter, I naturally commit such sinful activities, but today I have committed the worst of all sins. I have shot an arrow at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the cause of all causes. You are the supreme merciful shelter of all devotees. I am now taking shelter of you. I completely surrender my life to you. And I pray that because of my sinful activities, please kill me right now to atone for this sin. Krishna smiled. He said to Jara that you are not acting by your own will. You are acting under my direction. It was I, from within your heart, that caused you to approach and shoot this arrow. I have already removed all the yadus from the earth, and it is now my time to also depart. Because you are my devotee, I want to relieve you from this low birth. Now you may return to Vaikuntha. At that time, a beautiful flower airplane descended. And the residents of Vaikuntha placed Jara on the airplane. And he was transported to the eternal spiritual world. Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna, was looking frantically everywhere for Krishna. Then he saw him sitting in his beautiful forearm form. And with tears of love in his eyes, he bowed down. Krishna told Daruka that I am about to leave this world. Balaram and all the yadus have left. Now you go back to Dwarka and you tell everyone there what has happened. And you remove them from that city. Because after I leave this world, the ocean will cover every part of Dwarka except the place of my palace. Daruka witnessed a wonderful phenomena. Right before his eyes, the chariot and all the weapons and all the signs of Vishnu, everything ascended or began to ascend in the sky toward Vaikuntha. Then Daruka, with tears of love in his eyes, bowed down before the Lord. And he went to Dwarka. Krishna was sitting alone. At that time, all the demigods descended to this very place we are sitting today, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And they began to chant the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. They all wanted to witness this beautiful Leela of the Lord ascending to his eternal abode. At that time, hearing the beautiful prayers of the demigods, Krishna closed his eyes, and his eternal spiritual body disappeared from this earth. But by his illusory potency, he left behind a material body that exactly resembled his own. Why did he do this? Because as soon as Krishna left this world, the age of Kali began. And he wanted to give the opportunity for less intelligent, irreligious people to have the excuse not to surrender to Krishna by considering that he was like an ordinary living being who died and left his body behind. But according to Srila Shukadeva Goswami, Krishna's body is Satchit Ananda. It can never be touched by the modes of material nature. Shukadeva Goswami explains that when Krishna was young, in the self-same body, he brought his guru's son back from death. He also defeated Lord Shiva in battle. He had proven so many times that he was transcendental to the influences of this material existence. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna demonstrated the Virat Rupa, the universal form, to prove that he is time consuming everyone. Time and death are insignificant expansions of Krishna's external energy. But Krishna Shaktiman, he is the supreme possessor of all potencies. Krishna left this world by his own divine will, performed this wonderful Mosala Leela. I would like to mention also that after Krishna instructed the Yadus to come to Prabhaschetra, at that time Uddhava, his best and closest devotee and friend, he understood that the Lord would soon leave. He begged the Lord, "Please, let me go back to Godhead with you. I do not have any desire to remain in this world without you." Krishna explained to Uddhava his plan. And he said that you must go to Badrik Ashram and always remember me. And very soon, you will not have to see the evils of Kali Yuga, but you will attain my eternal abode. But before dispatching Uddhava, he spoke the Uddhav Gita, explaining the highest truths of life. After the demise of Krishna, Balaram and all the Yadu soldiers It is explained that Daruka explained everything to the citizens of Dwaraka, and headed by Arjuna, they came and performed the last funeral rites for all of the Yadus. And Krishna wanted to end this dramatic performance in a wonderful way, where all the wives of the Yadus, they entered the flames of their husbands and also joined them to go back to the spiritual world. So although for devotees, the thought of being separate from Krishna, the thought of Krishna leaving this world is very heartbreaking. But Lord Sri Krishna descended again in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhamo Bhagate. It is explained in Bhagavatam that after Krishna ascended for the spiritual world, he immediately descended within the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then that same self-same Sri Krishna descended again in this Kali Yuga as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught by his words and example the pure essence of the philosophy and teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conclusion of Bhagavatam, was profusely distributed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all living beings to give everyone the opportunity to always be with Krishna. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa panashanam pranamo dukha samanastham namami harim puram. The final instruction of Bhagavat is that we can always remember Krishna by congregationally chanting his holy name, by associating with his devotees, and by bowing down at his lotus feet. So this holy place of Prabhashchetra is the place that Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram left this world in one form, but in the divine form of his holy name, he's always with us. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he was always immersed in the feelings of separation from Krishna. But in that separation, he was always tasting divine unity with his beloved, through tasting the sweet sound of the holy name. In this way, in his mood of Srimati Radharani, the supremest of all devotees, he distributed the path of devotion to all of us. How we can always be in the divine presence of Krishna by associating with his devotees and together with them chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Itai Gaura Hare. for everyone. You should take the dust from the footprints of Sri Krishna. Offer prostrated obeisances and let us have wonderful kirtan of the holy name. Shukadev Maharaj, you please chant Harinam.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.